Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a fantastic show today. A show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work hard for your money, but you're ready for your money to work harder for you. So you can do what you want, be with those that you want, when you want, to have that freedom, the cash flow, and the prosperity to do what you want and be free today. It's about not about 30 or 40 years from now, about hopeful retirements. It's basically going against the grain of all this crappy mutual fund advice, save everything, spend nothing kind of advice that, you know, that they keep telling you to do, and it hasn't worked for years, and we're here to stop that. Because it's all about you guys being able to create freedom for yourself, and then you create a ripple effect through other people's lives, because as your life is blessed, you can bless those lives too. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing the show, for spreading the word. You guys have been such a fantastic group of people, and I appreciate those of you that have reached out to me and asked questions, or even, you know, found out that we can create massive value for you in your life too. And I tell you, it fires me up. That's the kind of thing that excites me. And, you know, somebody just told me the other day, he said, Chris, I can really tell that you do this because you think it's fun, don't you? And I'll tell you, I do. Like, this is why I teach. This is why I do this podcast, because I seriously light up when I see what's possible in a situation. Like, when I see someone's like, oh my gosh, like, we could seriously create an extra, you know, few thousand dollars a month. Or I had somebody where, you know, she wants to quit her job and all she needs to do is really replace about $5,000 a month. And I said, hey, we might be able to do that this year, or worst case, at least by the next year or two. And you can be with your little kids and start to help raise them. And that kind of stuff just lights me up. It makes me feel like I have so much fun doing that. So guys, thank you for being a part of this, because it's because of you that I'm inspired to keep doing it. And so this is really a calling for me. So thank you for being a part of it. Hey, today, so I want to talk about something that I've brought up on the show before. I've brought this same study, but I want to kind of update it a bit. I want to bring a new, fresh spin, because the truth is that even though the study was like a millionaire study, it really, as applied today, would be a multimillionaire study. And although I love teaching about strategies, the one thing I know for sure is that the strategies are pretty easy and simple to do for the most part. I mean, there can be complexities. There's no doubt. Of course there are. But for me, the strategy part is actually the easy part. The hardest part for me to do to help people create financial freedom is the ability to be free mentally, right? Mentally and emotionally free. Because I've had people where they've created the cash flow they need, but then they're not there yet mentally or emotionally. And so they have to work on that piece. And there really is a component towards creating financial freedom. And there's really a mental piece and a mindset piece that's a part of this, that allows you to actually create the money too. You know, no matter if you're a newbie or you're somebody who's already created a lot of money, these principles are the same. These principles are eternal. They don't change. The thing that does change, of course, over time are the strategies, right? That's why I have to keep updating this, because sometimes strategies do need to change. Sometimes things that were okay yesterday are not okay today, and things that were not okay yesterday are now okay today, right? And so those are the things that do change over time. But principles don't. And this study is a perfect example of it. And so this is a study by a man by the name of Cyrilli Blotnick. He had done a longitudinal study with people from 1960 to 1980. So this has been a while now. He took a 20-year study of these 1,500 Americans. These were working-class Americans. And he wanted to see what happened over time. Like, what were the things that made these people successful? And his definition of success was these people becoming millionaires. Now remember too, in 1980, a millionaire was very different then than it is today. I remember growing up in the 80s, thinking that millionaires were people I didn't know, right? Like people that are just beyond me. I remember even just recently, I mean, I remember the year 2002, you know, when people would tell me they made $300,000 a year, I thought, oh my goodness, you're rich. Now realizing 300,000 years, not that much in today's day, right? Or even if somebody made a million, it was incredible. And now it's like, oh, there's so many people that do that, you know? It's become easier to become a millionaire than ever. And so when he's talking about from 1960 to 1980, people that became millionaires, in truth, when you factor in inflation and everything else, these are really multimillionaires. So that's why I want to update this, because this is really the same principles that would apply to how to become a multimillionaire. So here's the thing. He wanted to look at these people, these 1,500 people, kept track of them. After a while, about 1,050 of them he was able to keep track of, either because they lost contact or they passed away or something happened, right? So about over 1,050 of these people, 83 had become millionaires. So out of 1,500, or really out of over 1,000 that he knew about, 83 had become millionaires. So he wanted to know, what did they do, right? And everybody will talk about, it's about taking massive action, right? It's like, it's what do you do? And everybody will ask me, like, what's that magic bullet? What's that investment I should be doing or whatever, right? And then they're kind of disappointed when I say, we got lots of choices. What do you want to do? And they're like, wait, I have options? Yes, you can do all kinds of things. There's millions of ways to become a millionaire. And that's what he found out too. There was no one strategy that worked. But there was five common traits or characteristics that each of these people had. In fact, it was unanimous. They all demonstrated these five things. This is what they had in common. This is where there was a significant correlation. So number one, I don't think this will come as a shocker, but it might. They were persistent. They were persistent. They just kept moving forward, right? They kept doing their thing. They didn't jump ship from place to place. Yeah, you might meet people like this where they might be the people that are always starting a new business or a new opportunity, and they never really try it long enough to succeed. And so they're just kind of jumping to the next thing. And then when you hear them say, oh, I'm so excited about this opportunity or this business I'm doing or whatever it might be, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is the next latest and greatest shiny object. Got it, buddy. You know, sure. All right. Good luck with that. And then that's pretty much what happens. They're just always chasing money but never getting it, right? But these people, they were persistent. They just kept moving forward. You know, they kept doing their thing. They didn't change jobs a lot. And remember, by the way, this is the thing that's so critical. These people were middle-class workers. These were not entrepreneurs. These were middle-class workers. So the point is that you don't have to be an entrepreneur even to become a multimillionaire. And I've seen this be true because I have clients that are multimillionaires that are not entrepreneurs. They're W-2 employees. But they did have to be persistent. For example, persistent with their saving, right? They had to persistently save their money. They didn't jump ship a lot. You know, they didn't change jobs a lot. I mean, they'll change jobs from time to time, especially when there's better opportunities, but it wasn't like they're changing every year. You know, not like, you know, people in the millennial generation have been accused of doing, right? Is where they keep jumping ship because they keep trying to find that next great place to work at. So it wasn't like that. So they were persistent. Two, they were patient. So they didn't get all riled up. They didn't get impatient to the point where they just gave up. So it goes along hand in hand with the persistence part, but they were also very patient. You know, if they were working for that promotion, right, they didn't give up. They just kept moving forward. They kept moving forward towards that goal. And eventually that hard work would pay off, you know. And that hard work, by the way, doesn't mean that you work long hours, although some of them did that, of course, right? But it does mean that you not only just stay the course, but you really have this mindset of abundance, right? It really is an abundance mindset with patience. And I see this all the time with coaching. I get people that come to me and they're so impatient. They want to invest so quickly that they're almost willing to make dumb decisions with their money because they feel like the money's just burning a hole in their pocket. And when I'm telling them, hey, you know, especially in many cases when I consult my clients, it might be a few months before they actually do their next investment or their first investment even, right? Because we might be spending time researching and interviewing people and talking to people, you know, connections that I have that have different investments to figure out what's right for them, you know, and then strategizing from there. So anyways, that's the kind of thing that I work on is like, okay, how do we do that? And so it does require some patience. You know, the more impatient people get, and some people will confuse this with optimism because they'll get so impatient, so worked up. They'll say they're just going about it and they're just running fast, right? But sometimes running fast isn't running at all. Sometimes there's an issue with that, right? So You know, sometimes you run too fast that you really don't know where you're going, and you're just really running in circles quickly rather than running in a straight line. So patience is so essential. Three. Number one was persistence. Two was patience. Number three, they were willing to handle both the nobler and the pettier aspects of their job. The nobler and the pettier aspects of their job. So this means, if you've ever heard people say, hey, it's not my job, this applies directly to you if you're that person. Not my job. No, they were willing to do what it takes to get the job done. You know, it did, as I like to say, they were willing to take out the trash. Or in a parent's terminology, because I've had a lot of kids, you're willing to change the diapers, right? And that's exactly what it is. They're willing to do the nobler and the pettier aspects. So yeah, they're willing to do the good stuff, but they're willing to do the crap too. They're willing to shovel the manure, so to speak, right? They're willing to do what needs to be done so that the job gets done. That's a big reason why they're also attractive to people too, right? This applies even to investing. You know, even people that are saving, it applies to business. And a lot of times people say, I'm just not passionate about that in my business. You know, I remember hearing a speaker. He was a guy that spoke on stages. He would say, you know, he's like, people say, man, it must be so awesome. You get paid such big money to go do a keynote speech. He's like, yeah, that part is awesome. That when I do that 45-minute speech and I get paid thousands and thousands of dollars to do that, sure, that's awesome. He's like, but you know what's not awesome? The preparation for that 45-minute speech, the hours and hours I spend crafting it and making it perfect, kind of like stand-up comedians do. Not to mention all the travel you got to do where you get on airplanes and you're dealing with hotels. You're not sleeping in your own bed or you're using your own pillows. It's kind of a rough thing. It's not a great lifestyle. You're always eating out and, you know, and that kind of stuff, right? Like it's not great and not a great lifestyle. But for that 45 minutes, yeah, it's awesome. And that's kind of the thing you have to do, is that sometimes you have to do the crappier stuff so you can do the cool stuff, right? And even with investing, people be like, oh, you know, I had a client recently where, you know, bless her heart, she was having such a hard time with buying a property. And it wasn't like she's going to be managing it, but just the closing, just trying to purchase and close on it. You know, they had to drop the price because the appraisal came in lower, which she freaked out about. I got excited. I said, this is awesome. You want to pay a less price. This is cool. That increases your ROI. But she was like, oh no, the appraisal came in low. I'm like, good. That's bad for the seller, not for you. You know, and different things popped up. And it was definitely much harder than average property. But I'll tell you, like I told her, I said, hey, this is a good test. Because if you hate it, absolutely hate it, well, this can happen from time to time. There'll be other properties you get that are just a piece of cake. The majority of them will be so easy, you'll wonder why it's such easy work. This case, it wasn't. And now she's buying her second property. I said, well, good luck, because it'll probably be a lot easier the second time around. The odds are in your favor, right? So you got to be willing to do the nobler and the pettier aspects to be successful. Four. They had a non-competitive attitude towards the people with whom they worked. The whole stepping on somebody to get up the corporate ladder, not applicable, does not work. That is scarcity. Remember, scarcity does not create prosperity. Scarcity drives money away. It costs you money, does not make you money. And so when you try to step on other people or you're trying to be so competitive and tear people down, it doesn't work, right? And so, and that's something I've had to learn too in business. Like, yeah, I'll villainize some people for sure. Because there does need to be a villain in this story. However, you know, it's not that I'm trying to destroy them. I'm trying to educate you and help you see the difference in the polarities, really, and the difference in the extremes and what's going on. You know, I'm that other voice in the wilderness, so to speak. When everybody else is teaching you to do one thing, I'm telling you to do the other, and because I know it works. And the problem is the other voices are so loud. I've got to kind of speak up my voice too, and then prove it with my results, where most people that take the other advice, the traditional financial advisor advice, get jack squat. You know, that's the fun part. That's the part I love, because I can actually kick the crap out of other, you know, financial advisors and what they do, right? But that's not like I'm trying to be competitive in the sense of trying to destroy them. I'm really just trying to improve upon it. And that's the thing, is like even people that would consider to be my competition, say people like Kiyosaki, or I mentioned Garrett Gunderson before on this show, right? Because I'd worked with him in the past, and people will ask me a lot of times like, hey, I've actually heard of Wealth Factory. Hey, you know them too? I'm like, yep, I know them well. And, you know, I don't have to destroy them. The truth is I will sometimes watch to see what they're doing, but actually I try not to watch too much. I don't watch a lot of their videos. Because I don't want to get their voice mixed up with mine. I have my own voice, my own way of doing things, and that's cool, you know, and they have theirs. But I'll definitely pay attention to see, like, hey, you know, what's the message they're doing? Is it similar to mine? It's amazing how we'll walk parallel paths and we'll talk about some of the same things, even though we never talk to each other, right? That's the cool thing about it. So, and that's what they noticed with these workers too, is that they didn't have this hugely competitive attitude where they're trying to tear everybody down and ruin people. They would maybe pay a little bit of attention to what people were doing. They would learn from people, but then they would just do their work. They would just do the best job they could, and they worked well. So that's number four. So number one was they were persistent. Number two, they were patient. Number three, they're willing to handle both the nobler and the pettier aspects of their job. And number four, they had a non-competitive attitude towards the people with whom they worked. Now, number five, this is the key thing, especially those of you that have been looking for those magic investments. Their investment activities, aside from their main career, consumed a minimum of their time and attention. Let me repeat that. Their investment activities, aside from their main career, which of course is your number one investment, right? Their investment activities consumed a minimum of their time and attention. So they were not working as full-time investors to do this. Now remember, again, these are not entrepreneurs. These are not people that were pulled, that were real estate investors out there making millions like a lot of my friends are. These were people that were simply just working a middle-class job. But they weren't getting so distracted that it distracted from their work. Because you got to understand, your best economic engine, I'll do a show on this soon, your best economic engine is what you can create through your main streams of income, through that active work that you do. And that is always going to be the best, you know, well, okay, I shouldn't say it's always going to be the case, but that's going to be your biggest economic engine, right? That's the thing that really allows you to create more. So when you have things like this where you've got investments coming up, you're not becoming like this full-time investor on the side, or, you know, where you're working massive overtime. You know, it might just be very part-time. So with many of my clients, you know, we will factor in the time factor, because yes, you can make way more money doing more active investing versus passive investing. Usually with passive investments, you're being passed on some of the leftovers, so to speak, right? There's usually an active investor behind it that's making a bigger return than you are, but you're still making good returns. You know, when people are making 10, 12% a year plus sometimes, even passively, that's pretty amazing, right? But I know active investors that would look at 10 or 12% and say, well, that's nothing. I can make so much more. You know, I have friends that do wholesale investments. They'll make anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 per deal that they do. Now, they might spend, you know, a few hours to several hours of work to do it, and marketing and money to do it. That's like a legitimate business, but they can make multi-millions doing that kind of business, running that kind of show, right? You know, that's not to take that away. That's their main driver, their economic engine. Well, if you've got a job, even a W-2 job, I'm not going to tell you, hey, you should go be an active investor where you're spending 20, 30 hours a week dealing with investment stuff. We're probably going to look more at things that are going to be more passive, things that won't take a lot of your time and attention. And in fact, almost every one of you that come to me aren't looking for active investments. You're looking for things that are more passive. You're like, what can I do that can generate some cash flow for me? And you know, if anything, alleviate the burden so that I'm not just month-to-month paycheck, or even better, that I can accelerate and get myself to financial freedom much faster and safer than if I just gamble my money away in crappy mutual funds, right? And so that's the key difference, is that, you know, those investment activities did not take up a huge amount of their time and attention. They didn't have to become full-time investors, and neither do you. And that's the key piece here. Now, there's a whole other mindset thing with this abundance mindset that's huge, and I have done other episodes in the past, and I'm sure I'll do more in the future. The key is if you're persistent, you're patient, you're willing to handle both the nobler, the pettier aspects of your job or your career, you have a non-competitive attitude with those that you work where you learn from them versus just try to destroy them, and then you have investment activities on the side that consume a minimum of your time and attention. By the way, key point on this, one thing they discovered that with these people that had investments, in fact, even the ones that were millionaires, by the way, most of these people didn't even realize they were millionaires. They didn't even track their money enough to know. But one thing they found out is that sometimes their investments actually didn't help them, actually hurt them. So the key thing is here is that still their job was the number one determinant for them becoming a millionaire, or in your case, becoming a multimillionaire. And their investments, because they gambled a little bit, didn't really help them at all. So they did have investments, but it didn't take up much of their time and attention. Now imagine what you could do if your investments actually worked for you. They actually helped you versus hindered you in that progress. You weren't just losing money like you're gambling your money away, but it actually was growing and building. Guys, that's where multimillionaire could actually become possible. And that was 20 years for these guys in various forms of their life. But that guys, that's just as applicable today as it is tomorrow, as it will be forever in the future. So guys, focus on those key principles. Focus on those things that allow you to become truly free, truly independent, and then have the strategies back them up to even accelerate it more. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, if you have questions, reach out to me, chris@moneyripples.com, or you can go to my website, moneyripples.com. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.